Howdy, folks, and welcome to Moose Podcast number 431, New Year Gear Talk 2025. That's right. Happy New Year, folks. We are now in a new year. Even though it's just been a couple days, it's a whole new year. Kind of puts a new spin on things. I love that one commercial. It talks about this event that comes up the second Friday, which is a Give It Up Friday kind of thing, where your New Year's resolution is already toast. I hope yours lasts much longer and that the spirit fills your entire year. Well, here in Montana, winter officially is on the ground. We've got about 6 inches of snow. The good stuff, not the wet stuff, but the really nice powdery stuff that lasts a long time. Critters are quite active. The storm has come through on the bad side, I guess. We've got some abnormally warm temperatures. It's 26 this morning. That's warm for us right now in January. I'd much rather see it colder, but we've got snow, so that's great news. A lot of folks have been asking if I've been reading any good books of late. I just finished the number 4 book of Rick McIntyre's series on wolves that I talked about last podcast. I will have more book, I don't want to say reviews, but recommendation for you as we go through the year. It's something that I'm going to try to add to the series. Many of the books won't be about f-stops and shutter speeds, more about just simply what it is to be a photographer on this planet, taking it all in and then mixing it all up and then putting it back out in those clicks. So I will begin doing that. I appreciate the input from you folks and hearing that. You guys have been really outspoken this holiday season with your greetings, and I thank you a lot for that. My good friends at Bedford Camera, bedfords.com. They are, first, some people seem to think they just sell Nikon gear. Actually, they sell it all, folks. All the brands that you can think of and some others you might not hear about, they've got them. They've got this huge inventory and knowledge base to provide every one of us with the tools we need to be creative. They do that with incredible knowledge, really nice folks. It's a great staff. They're to help us in this new year make photography just that more successful and fun. If you happen to go to the Tulsa store, on the outside, you're going to see this big, giant Monument Valley Pano. Yeah, that's my photograph there that's on the outside of that store. It's the installation's coming up shortly. I'm really quite honored to be part of the store in that physical way. But hey, you head in and I guarantee you say my name, you will see after you check out money in your pocket from that 5% discount. So Bedford's Camera, bedfords.com. They're the folks this year, last year, next year, the ones that will make our photography just a tad sweeter. Well, New Year Gear Talk 2025. I'm going to start off with the first question that literally just came in. Just when I checked my emails before I sat down to do this podcast, comes from Mike. He says he's got the Z6 III, really likes the camera, but finds the body a bit small for his hand and it's just not comfortable. Mike says there's no camera stores nearby to go check out the MBN14 grip. So his question is, does that grip make the Z6 III just a little bit more comfortable for his bigger hand? Hey, Mike, I am right there with you. I exact same scenario. I have friends who will tell you when I first started shooting with it, I didn't have that grip yet, and it was just not comfortable for my bigger hands. Now, the MBN 14 is more than just a grip, okay? First, it does give you that extra bulk that I really, really like. I've mentioned that many times, why I like the Z9 so much because of that extra bulk. But it gives you the vertical firing button, which I think is really just essential. But what I really like about it is the way the battery system works. It's a tray, and it holds two batteries, two of the, EL15As or BCDs, whatever. I don't keep track of that as well as I used to. But anyway, it holds two in the tray, and you can hot swap the batteries. And that's to say that you have two batteries in there, and A and B. A is the battery on the left, B is on the right. The B is the one that's deepest in the grip. So it uses the power from A first. Now it works where you see in the bottom right corner, it'll tell you the battery status and it'll say A or B, depending which battery it's using. And then when A goes to red, let's say the camera's set up on a tripod, you're doing a time lapse. Excuse me. And it goes red, you can open the chamber. Now, of course, if it's doing a time lapse, you can't move the camera, but it gives you the ability to open the chamber, pop out the one battery, just A, and replace it. And B will keep the camera going while you're doing that hot swapping. And you can keep doing that, just popping out and putting in new A's, keep the camera going as long as you want, or you just figure out how much time you have left and let B finish it off. But you're going to keep the camera going basically indefinitely that way. So, yeah, the grip mic makes a big difference. And I hope that this quick answer helps you. It is definitely worth having. I got mine from Bedford's PDQ, and I love it. So thanks for writing in, Mike, and good luck with them critters. Jen had a question that... I love the way she put it to me. It was really quite sweet. To basically paraphrase, Jen says she's got a great hubby, and who supports her wanderings and her photography and photographing wildlife. He bought her a number of my books. Really nice guy. And for Christmas, he doesn't really know this stuff, so he had to depend on the advice from the salesman, but got her a pair of binoculars that he was told were the bee's knees, and they turned out to be, well, not quite as luxurious and effective as he was led to believe. So Jen wants to replace them. Kind of do it quietly because she really, her husband really supports her. Very sweet thing. So what can you, her basic question is, what binoculars can I recommend in around the $100 range that he spent on these not so nice ones? Thank you very much. So Jen, first of all, it's great you've got support. That's really cool. And I love the way you phrased the email. Anyway, so to the answer to the question, yeah, the Nikon ProStaff P3, Papa 3. I've got three pairs of these. I absolutely love them. I have had them since they first came out. Yeah, you can find them easily for less than $100. You might have some money left over for some ice cream or two or three when you're out there shooting those critters. Now, the ProStaff P3, first, they are physically light. Sharon has a pair. She just loves them. They're physically lightweight. That's really important when you're looking for a long time. Next, They are incredibly bright, which is really important in binoculars. Last great feature that I want to mention is the fact that they are rubberized. Now, they're not true waterproof binoculars as we had back in the day, especially. But these are, I've had them in all kinds of weather. Sharon and I both have never had an issue. So, Jen, Nikon ProStaff P3. Now, the only thing that comes to mind that I should tell you about is they're not going to be black like the ones your hubby got you. They're dark green. So there is the possibility he might notice you swapped them out. Anyway, Nikon ProStaff P3, really great binoculars. I'm going to say a funny personal New Year gear tip, talk, idea I want to pass along. So one of the fellow Nikon ambassadors, Todd, really a energetic, great shooter. He's the official shooter there at Jimmy Fallon's Tonight Show. Great stories. Love talking with Todd. Anyway, he kind of voiced out loud amongst the ambassadors something that we've all kind of thought about was the iPhone. I know people love the iPhone camera, which is great. But when it comes to organizing images and looking at the images you've taken, man, the iPhone and that whole thing just sucks. It blows chunks. Drives me freaking nuts. And every time they update the phone, they change that system. So then everything you might have thought you had organized goes kaplooey. The other thing is, I'm old school. There's no way around it. It's not going to change. It's not like I'm getting younger, even though I like to adapt as much as possible. I like to put a card in a computer, and I like to look at it on my computer, and I like to be able to go to Adobe Camera Raw and make those tweaks, you know, get rid of some of those old age wrinkles and spots and stuff. Anyway, Todd went out and looked at the Coolpix. That's, you know, that was it for a long time with Nikon. And he picked up the Coolpix A. Now, if you don't remember the Coolpix A, it was a great little camera. I really wanted one, but they were really expensive when they first came out. And I, even though I wanted it, it's just because it's so small. It has a comes with an 18 millimeter lens, but it's a DX sensor. So it's basically 26 millimeter, just like that Z26 2.8. And if you didn't know, 26 millimeter is the same basic focal length on your iPhone when you're not using the 3X or the wide angle. When you just turn on your iPhone camera, it's basically a 26 millimeter lens. Well, that's what the Coolpix A has. And you would shoot it just like you could think an iPhone. It's physically smaller than my iPhone. It is the same weight. It is a tad thicker, but it has a big, giant LCD. You would hold it up. You're able to shoot it like a real camera because the shutter release on the top. And it takes an SD card, which goes right in the slot of the Mac. Anyway, Todd brought it up, and I went to Bedford's. They had it. They said it was used, but it came brand new in the box. Even had the carrying case for it. Picked it up for a song compared to what it was brand new. And I love this thing. The iPhone, maybe for some things, like when my motor of my table saw just went out and I had to rewire it, I took pictures of the wiring so I would remember how it went. I wouldn't use Coolpix for that, but when it comes to going out, it's in my pocket now, and it's the Coolpix A, as in Alpha. You can find them relatively easily used. Just a simple pocket camera lets me take shots and organize them like I like to do. So anyway, on to another one of your questions. Comes from Craig. Great question, Craig. So Craig paraphrase this basically. He when the went mirrorless with the Nikon system, and he got the Z800 6.3 lens, a marvelous lens, especially for the price. It's light. It's just a really nice piece of long glass. And he says he fell in love with it. Then he got into some other aspects of photography, sports in particular, football, and 800's too much glass for that. So then he picked up the Z400 2.8 TC, which is a spectacular lens. And TC means teleconverter because it's actually integrated into that lens. You slip of a lever, it becomes a 560 f4 lens. The 600 f4 TC does the same thing, except for it turns into an 840 5.6 lens. So his question was, going out to photograph birds, he knew I've shot with both those lenses. He said, I'm torn which one to take out for birds, the 806.3 or the 402.8 TC. Well, I first told Craig 800. Then I thought about it for a while. I thought about it even longer and looked at images. And then I changed my mind after going through the thought process. And the thought process being, well, one, and this is really, if you don't shoot a lot, this wouldn't come to mind is, when you put on teleconverters, you have to move your hands around. And your hands often have to go above your head, and they're between your body and the subject. And that motion, especially if it's just bare skin, critters can't help but see that. With a 400 2.8 TC, you want longer, you just simply flip a lever. And the critters don't see that. Now, my personal preference, it has been since the 800 5.6 EDIF lens, the old AIF lens, is a 800 millimeter when it comes to photographing birds. Now, the 400 2.8 obviously isn't going to be that. The 800 is natively, but you could, and this is, I've done it, I know for a fact it works, just shoot with the 400 2.8 with the Z200. The Z2X, that gives you an 800 millimeter 5.6 lens. My favorite combo. Now, the first thing you might be saying, well, you're losing light. You're still at 800 5.6. My favorite 800 5.6 AF lens is 800 5.6. You're not going to get a faster 800. When I go to 840 with the Z600 F4 TC, I'm at 840 f5.6. So you're not, shooting a slower lens compared to the person next to you. But why else why did I really think this was a better combo? The Z400 2.8 focuses so much closer than the 800. And that minimum focusing distance, that's everything. That is everything. It makes it possible to photograph things like chickadees, and they fill the frame because they're so close to you. You're at 800 millimeter. Now you have to be careful. You're going to have a little bit of a shallow depth of focus when a bird is at minimum focusing distance. So when you focus on that eye, that tip of the bill, depending if it's looking right down its bill at you, won't be sharp. You'll have to close down. But that's really not a big issue. So between the 800 6.3 and the Z400 2.8 TC with the 2X on it, I would take the latter every time. That you're going to have superior image quality and killer minimum focusing distance. You're not going to be telling the critters that you are changing teleconverters because you can still just go from 800 to whatever 800 plus 1.4 is 11. You can go to 1120 in a heartbeat. So there you have it. First podcast of the year, New Year Gear Talk 2025. You folks have a marvelous first week, what's left of it of the year. Get out there and shoot. And remember to make every click your story.